Communities around the world are alert to the potentially negative impacts of international financial institutions, like the IMF and the World Bank, on the environment and human rights. Yet lesser-known outfits called export credit agencies account for the single biggest source of debt in the developing world, and unlike the World Bank and the IMF, taxpayers are paying for them. What is an export credit agency? Export credit agencies, commonly known as ECAs, provide government-backed loans, guarantees, and insurance to those corporations from their home country that are seeking to do business abroad, especially in countries where the financial and political risks are high. But they are more than banks. In addition to loans and loan guarantees, ECAs provide something called political risk insurance. Political risk insurance protects overseas assets against breach of contract by a foreign government or state-owned company, refusal or inability of a foreign government to make scheduled loan payments or payments under a guarantee, seizure, confiscation, or appropriation of assets by a foreign government, war, revolution, insurrection, or terrorist attacks that damage assets or force the shutdown of foreign operations, a currency crisis which prevents the conversion or transfer of currency, or measures taken by a foreign government to prevent repossession or re-export of physical assets. We are insuring Canadian investors against civil war or nationalization. That's how Ron Giles, a spokesman for Export Development Canada, the Canadian ECA, described his office's work 10 years ago. Export Development Canada's political risk insurance aims to reassure banks and investors by covering 90% of eligible losses. As a Midland Bank executive in charge of arms deals in the UK once put it, quote, "You see, before we advanced monies to a company, we always insist on any funds being covered by the UK Export Credit Guarantee Department. We can't lose. After 90 days, if the Iraqis haven't coughed up, the company gets paid instead by the British government. Either way, we recover our loan, plus interest, of course. It's beautiful." End quote. Export Development Canada also insures accounts receivable against non-payment by U.S. and other foreign customers. Accounts receivable insurance covers failure to pay, bankruptcy or insolvency, refusal to accept the goods, cancellation of import or export permits, and problems with currency transfer. ECA Watch, an NGO campaign to reform export credit agencies with members in 32 countries and the European Union, believes that ECAs, quote, "compete intensely with ECAs from other countries that do the same," end quote. They point out that ECAs are quick to back projects that other ECAs and multilateral development banks will refuse on environmental and social grounds. The most spectacular, and therefore the most frequently cited, case is the Three Gorges Dam in China. In 1996, the German, Swiss, and Canadian ECAs outdid one another to help finance the project, even though the World Bank and the U.S. Export-Import Bank refused to provide support on environmental grounds. Peter C. Evans, who recently published his PhD dissertation on ECAs in the MIT Political Science Department, sees it differently. He argues that, quote, "the arrangement on guidelines for officially supported export credits is best understood as a cartel comprised of the leading suppliers of state-backed trade finance. Supplier states comprise the rich industrial countries that produce official export finance or give foreign aid to finance the exports of capital goods, military equipment, and agricultural products sought by buyer states. Buyer states are generally developing countries which have limited ability to pay in cash or to self-finance these imports. By colluding to limit competition through jointly agreed-upon rules, supplier states increase their market power vis-à-vis buyer states. the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development became the forum of choice for the arrangement because it permitted secrecy and selective membership that better aligned the interest of supplier states against buyer states. End quote. Both views entail serious allegations, and the truth may be more complex than either. Investigation and debate is certainly warranted. Since a competition to finance the Three Gorges Dam, warts and all, NGOs from around the world have campaigned to reform ECAs. The goals and demands expressed in submissions this January to the OECD Working Group on Common Approaches in Paris have not changed much since the Jakarta Declaration of May 2000. The Jakarta Declaration was agreed to following an international meeting on ECA reform in Indonesia, and by now has been endorsed by over 300 NGOs. It calls for public access to information and consultation by ECAs and the OECD ECA Working Party, binding common environmental and social guidelines and standards, explicit human rights criteria, binding criteria and guidelines to end ECA abetting of corruption, a commitment only to finance economically productive investments, and comprehensive debt relief for developing countries. Amazing that those aren't already in place. Today, we focus on the corruption and transparency reforms. According to Transparency International, bribing foreign officials in order to secure overseas contracts for their exports has become a widespread practice in industrial countries. Almost all ECAs have the potential to underwrite bribes directly, whether knowingly or not, because the cost of commission payments made by companies to win a contract, long recognized as a route through which bribes may be paid, is included in the overall sum that they underwrite. Many ECAs do not check, let alone require, that contracts they back are won through competitive tender or transparent procurement methods. ECAs have given support for projects in some instances despite public allegations of corruption and concerns raised by other donor agencies, and have failed to investigate bribery allegations when they have arisen. Companies embroiled in corruption scandals have meanwhile continued to receive ECA support and faced little sanction. Unlike the multilateral development banks, few ECAs say they will use debarment as a sanction for bribery, and none has ever done so in practice. Finally, ECAs have historically lacked transparency. Until recently, few ECAs disclosed publicly the projects that they supported, and even today, disclosure is patchy. 9 ECAs, including those of Canada, Germany, Italy, and Sweden, still do not require companies to provide any details of the commission payments they underwrite. Only the Swiss, New Zealand, Danish, and Canadian ECAs, however, say they would debar, that is, blacklist, companies convicted of corruption. And Canada would not do so if the company puts in place anti-corruption management procedures. Lisa Perryman at the Odious Debts Project claims that the Canadian government decided it wasn't important to send a clear message to Acres and other Canadian corporations that bribery doesn't pay, and announced it would continue awarding public contracts to Acres through federal agencies such as the Canadian International Development Agency and Export Development Canada. Transparency is a related problem. ECAs don't generally disclose the impacts of their projects to the public. The common approaches do not require ECAs to consult with affected communities and civil society in the development of projects that they finance. ECA Watch finds that this failure runs counter to decades of experience in the field of sustainable development and is antagonistic to democratic principles. The Export Development Canada website is quick to point out that EDC is not subject to federal access to information legislation. EDC's statement of principles governing EDC disclosure is negative and defensive. It emphasizes balancing mere desire against need, that is, the desire for more information against the need to respect our customers' commercial interests. The statement identifies three principles. First, EDC is committed to increasing the transparency of its business activities when the issue of accountability is relevant and in the absence of a compelling reason for confidentiality. Second, EDC will ensure that the form, content, and timing of disclosure pursuant to this policy will not impede the effective execution of its mandate under Section 10 of the Export Development Act to support and develop, directly or indirectly, Canada's export trade and Canadian capacity to engage in that trade and to respond to international business opportunities. Third, confidential information, defined as information that is either related to commercial competitiveness or unrelated to public accountability, will not be disclosed. It should be clear that EDC has no particular enthusiasm for transparency. EDC has enjoyed its privileged exemption from freedom of information legislation and complies when it has to with a recommendation issuing from the Government of Canada's review of EDC's mandate to increase disclosure to the public on the scope and variety of its activities. EDC's revised disclosure policy became effective on May 1, 2002. It is, quote, not retroactive and will apply only to new businesses. End quote. EDC's practice is not to disclose any information on individual insurance transactions because to do so might encourage the making of claims. That's it for this Monday. This version of World Report draws on material from the Export Development Canada website, ECA Watch, Transparency International, Odious Debts, Probe International, the OECD Export Credit Secretariat, and Peter C. Evans' dissertation, International Regulation of Official Trade Finance. It has been archived on the World Report website at cjly.net/worldreport, where you can get it either as a podcast or in raw MP3 format. There are also links to recommended sources of further reading if you're interested. To comment or suggest a story, send email to earthling@cjly.net, attention World Report, or to Box 767, Nelson, British Columbia, Canada, V1L 5R4, attention World Report. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.